This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, buddy, on the air everywhere, it's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. We got a fun Wednesday edition of the program lined up for you. We'll get to the breaking news, a big trade in the NBA. Plus, we have player prop bets that are starting to be added to over at VSiN.com/picks. I have a few along the way. We'll look at the best matchups in Wildcard Weekend, plus breakdowns of the Fiesta and the Peach Bowl. And you will hear from the man that is the Kyle Shanahan elixir. But first, we got to get to a college basketball game about to tip off here in the Mountain West Conference. Grand Canyon, Boise State, going to go at it as hard as they can in Boise, Idaho. As you've got Boise, a team, you know, with expectations this year, the better team in this matchup, the team with more offense in this matchup, Grand Canyon, first year as a part of the Mountain West Conference. And right now I'm seeing 8.5 on the side. The Broncos are laying it here. The total, I'll be honest, I bet a bad number. And by the way, if you want to bet on college basketball today, you should do the opposite of what I'm doing. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, I believe 1 in 4 so far. And Cal looks like another loser for me. So 1 in 5. So I bet under 137.5. And last I looked for this game, we were up to 142.5. And I'm seeing back down to 140.5. So it appears we got up to 142.5. We got some buyback back down to 140.5. I liked the under at 138.5. I might be dead wrong about this. Boise still laying 8.5. They're the side I'd consider here. You got Grand Canyon off a 10-point home loss to Colorado State. They did beat Utah earlier in the year. Their losses to Iowa and to Oklahoma State for Boise. Wins over Wichita, Butler, and St. Mary's. Their losses to Hawaii Pacific, USC, NC State, Nevada, and San Diego State in 3 overtimes a week ago. Bryce Drew is 21-12 against spread as a dog. Pretty good in that role, but 5-11 covering the number in a road game when the total's between 130 and 139.5. He's 7-3 against the spread and to the over off of a home loss. Leon Rice for Boise State, just 35-40 against the spread as a home favorite of 6.5-12. He is 88-80 against the spread when the total's between 130 and 139.5. I bet the under. Boise's 9-3 to the under this year. Grand Canyon 7-5-1 to the under this year. Grand Canyon, a team we're used to seeing shoot the three ball pretty well for a mid-major, they are 300th in the nation shooting the three. So I'm very concerned about them going on the road to Boise and being able to hit it from beyond the arc. So that's why I bet the under 138.5, but I wouldn't suggest anyone tail me because I'm getting my butt whipped tonight. But we'll monitor that game throughout. Maybe there's an opportunity for us to get off our bet, maybe add to our bet. We'll see how the game plays out as they are about to get going there. And I'll update you on the NBA action, the college hoops action, as it develops throughout the night. But our lead story today, and it happened, what, about an hour ago? Trae Young has been traded from the Atlanta Hawks to the Washington Wizards. And in return, Atlanta receives CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert. And on the surface, you look at that trade and you just go, oh, that's it. That's it? I thought Trae Young was a superstar. No. See, Trae Young is not a winning basketball player. And the Atlanta Hawks just got closer to contending in an Eastern Conference. Like, let's be fair. The Knicks, the Pistons, the Cavs. You can order them however you want. I don't care. You want to put the Pistons one, you want to put the Cavs one, you want to put the Knicks one. I'm good with any order. I'm not going to argue against it. I think Cleveland's going to make a run in the second half and be similar to they were a year ago. Those are the three teams that scare me in the playoffs. I think those are the teams that are built for postseason success. And now the Atlanta Hawks, who are 20-1, I think they're throwing their hat in the ring. It would be an upset. They're by no means going to be a favorite in any of these matchups. But we've seen in the Eastern Conference specifically over the last few years, depth matters. Having shooters off the bench matters. Having been able to navigate the waters of injuries throughout a long NBA season, that is vital to success. Like, I think about Indiana the last couple years. Indiana last year specifically, they had depth. They had dudes who could step up. They had bench pieces who could pick up guys in the starting lineup when they failed. By adding CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert, you add a couple of things. One, they're both shooters. Two, McCollum, a veteran, he's been through this before. He's going to be a calming presence for a really young Hawks team that has a lot of upside. And by the way, the best thing the Atlanta Hawks did was they put the keys in the hands of Jalen Johnson. He's a superstar. He is their superstar. That is the player you build around, a two-way player who can do everything on the floor. He can shoot. He can defend. He can grab boards. He can run in transition. He can facilitate. When Trae Young's not in the lineup, Jalen Johnson shines as a true superstar, and he's only going to get better. Trae Young in the lineup for Atlanta this year, they were 2-8 straight up. Without him, they were 15-13. So two games above 500. Meanwhile, six games below when he's in the lineup. And I think the additions of Kispert and McCollum really add to a team that could be scary in the playoffs because you add two more shooters to go with Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who is a great addition in the offseason. Porzingis as well, who can be used either as a starter, off the bench, however you want to do it. I don't know if they continue to start Luke Kennard at point. Maybe they start McCollum there. Either way, you've got a lot of options to go with Dyson Daniels, who's a great defender, Reese Shea, who's coming along, a really young kid, and then Okongwu at center. This is a balanced team. This is a scary team. Now, I'm a little biased. I bought in on them in the preseason when they were making all these moves. I bet Atlanta 80-1 to win the title. So I believed in this team, but I think they got better today. So I'm willing to say they're worth a look at 20-1 to win the East. I wouldn't say it's a must play. It's a hammer play. But the Eastern Conference sees crazy things happen every single postseason. So for Atlanta, that's the perspective. For Washington, I need you to explain it to me. What is the perspective? What is the point of this? Trae Young doesn't get you closer to winning a championship. Trae Young only halts your rebuild. I know it's not a huge deal to lose McCollum and Kispert to what you're planning to do with some of the young guys that you brought in. But, oh, by the way, all those young guys you brought in are all guards. Trae Young's going to dominate the basketball. How do those guys grow and get better if they don't have shots to take? I don't quite understand the Washington concept of putting together a roster because at the end of the day, Trae Young's a guy that people don't want to play with. Trae Young is a guy who doesn't defend, who calls his own number as a shooting first point guard. And I think because he's a liability on one end of the floor and doesn't carry his own weight, I think his teammates don't like him as a teammate. So I don't understand the perspective for Washington. Maybe you can explain it to me at Dustin Sweetelson at VSiN Live, because I'm perplexed as to why the Wizards did this. From an Atlanta perspective, I do think they got better. I think they got more balanced. I think they got more depth. They brought in someone in McCollum who I really respect as a veteran. And I think this team may not be done making moves. They might have one or two more up their sleeve. And I think they're going to be a scary out in the postseason. Maybe I'm wrong and they don't upset someone in one of the early rounds. But if they get the right matchup with someone who doesn't take them serious enough, I think Atlanta could be a good team. I think Atlanta could be a very, very, very good team. And I think it's the Knicks, I think it's the Pistons, and it's the Cavs that I'd be scared of in the playoffs. And then Atlanta might be fourth. I mean, you can make the case for Boston. You can make the case for Philly, Orlando. But Atlanta's right there. And I know they've underachieved. They've completely underachieved. But this is addition by subtraction. That locker room is going to be living free. They're going to be a lot happier because they don't have Trae Young taking up all the attention back there. And I thought that was really interesting the way some of the rumors were worded today. Trae Young and his people are exploring a trade. Dude, nobody wants you. Outside of Washington, who was making this move? Someone has to explain to me, like, who was willing to take on Trae Young? Because I don't see the team out there. Sacramento's not, and they're willing to get rid of everyone. New Orleans isn't. Obviously, the Pacers aren't. The Nets aren't. The Hornets definitely aren't. The Hornets are trending in the right direction. Who else was willing to do this other than the Wizards, a team so far away from winning that in my lifetime, I can't remember the Wizards really being a scary team. I was living up there in Washington, D.C. when they had Bradley Beal and they had John Wall, and it felt like that could be something. That was the closest they ever came. But this move just screams desperation. It screams wanting to sell tickets. It screams wanting to people to pay attention to you for the sake of paying attention to you, not for them to jump on when you start to be competitive and start to build and start to win, because Trae Young doesn't change your fortunes as a winning basketball franchise. All right, updates across the land of sports and college basketball first. Clemson on top of SMU, 68-61. Clemson was laying, what, 4.5 in that matchup. Right now they're 6.5-point favorites with under 3 minutes left. 146.5 is your total. Virginia on top of Cal, 75-51. Virginia's laying 23.5 in game. The total is 141.5, and I'm laughing because I took 13 with Cal, and I was so excited. I was like, I nailed it. Caesars had a 13. I got the best of the number. I'm going to get it before it moves. Nope, completely irrelevant. They're getting smoked on the road in Charlottesville. Ryan Odom may apparently be putting it together right now, you know, a little bit into his tenure as the Virginia head coach. Alabama and Vandy, it's Vanderbilt right now in the second half. 7:02 left. They're up 76-67. Your in-game total is 182.5. That was the one high total I really considered betting the over on. But when you start seeing 179, 179.5, 180, you're like, I don't know, man. I understand both teams play with tempo, but you're asking a lot of scoring out of college kids. Arizona, number one in the nation, they're on top of Kansas State, 80-65 right now, laying 16.5, 175.5 the total in that game. Over in the NBA, a few games still going on. The Spurs on top of the Lakers, 64-57. I'm looking at that game right now. We're in the third quarter, 6:26 to go, 208.5 your in-game total. Spurs laying 6.5, or 8.5, I should say. Milwaukee and Golden State, the Warriors are leading 64-53. Golden State's laying 10.5 total right now, 228.5 at halftime. And then in the second quarter, just before the break, it's Portland 57, Houston 46. Trailblazers laying 3.5. The total is 220.5. I need to look at this box score real quick. There might be something to do here with Houston. Even though Portland's been a pesky team this year, really young core. I like how they play, but I want to make sure I didn't miss anyone out of the lineup for Houston. No, I see Durant. I see Amen Thompson. I know Shingun's been out. Tari Eason's filling in. By the way, Tari Eason has 10 points again in the first half. Jabari Smith's doing nothing offensively. Steven Adams starting. It's a 10-point game, 57-47. They're only catching 2.5, Houston, but that's the way I'd look there. That is the only thing I'm considering, but we're going to stay away. We will stay away. We'll take you through all of the night action throughout the night here on Cashing Out. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. 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 Minimum purchase required. See site for more details. I'll tell you the nightmare scenario involving Harbaugh and the Giants next.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Dustin Sweetelson here, you there. Thanks for making us part of your night, however you may be tuning in. You can always check out the show on SiriusXM, Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. I'm just looking now in overtime. The Thunder beat the Jazz, 129-125 tonight. Oklahoma City was laying 19.5. Something's going on, man. You know what it was? It was me. Not to be narcissistic, but I do tend to have a lot of narcissistic tendencies. I do believe the second I believed in Oklahoma City, that's when all of this started happening. I was like, no, I don't know if they're going to go back-to-back. Last year was such a deep run. They've never done it before. They played a lot of basketball. And I finally accepted, no, this is one of the greatest teams we've ever seen. And literally since my brain said that, they haven't looked the same. They did get the win today. They do not cover. They needed OT against the 12-24 Jazz. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, though, in the performance when his team needed him the most, 46 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 of 8 from 3, but don't worry, 17-19 from the free throw line. That'll get it done every time if you can get to the charity stripe like SGA does and the free throw merchant does, and OKC does pick up the win there. I'll have more on the NBA in a little bit as we're just going to get underway right now. Grand Canyon and Boise State, 30 seconds in, we get a bucket. Not good for the under. No, I'm just kidding. I'm overreacting there. But right now, we have to tackle the top stories in the National Football League because there's a lot of juicy stuff out there. And we do it every night on the program in the three-point stance.
The top stories in football.
We want some more! We want some more! We want some more!
Every single day.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
This is three-point stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
We'll play intramurals, brother.
I don't know why I said it like that. I said it like I was constipated. To be very clear, I eat way too much fiber to be constipated. But anyway, the top stories in the National Football League, and John Harbaugh is dominating the headlines. I mean, this is like a TMZ come up. This is the most eligible bachelor, but NFL coach edition. Everyone who's anyone wants John Harbaugh to coach their team. Even teams that currently have coaches. and possibly teams that are still in the playoffs. Report from Fox Sports' Ralph Vacchiano. 9 teams have contacted Ravens head coach John Harbaugh about their vacancies, and even some of them have been occupied head coaching roles. So by my math, 9 have reached out to his team and 6 openings. So that would mean the Ravens obviously aren't reaching out, which would have been the 7th. But we're looking at 2-3 other teams reaching out that already have coaches. Could those teams be the Buffalo Bills? Could it be Patrick Maher on VSiN Live, Mad Dog Sports Radio? I was just on with him. He had a pretty good theory. Nick Sirianni, I think there's some credence to that. If they get eliminated by San Francisco in the first round, just because there's so much noise, there's a lot of drama out of that locker room when things aren't going well. And John Harbaugh, up until this year, I mean, there was never drama. It was always positivity. And that's 18 years into this thing and a Super Bowl along the way. I don't think it's crazy to think Sirianni, they could be sick of him there. But the Bills, Philadelphia, I don't think that a team like Pittsburgh would make sense moving on from Tomlin and then bringing in Harbaugh. But everyone wants John Harbaugh. Everyone wants him. And I think if Buffalo opened up, that could throw a real wrinkle into this, especially for the New York Giants, because let's live in this world. I want to live in this scenario. John Harbaugh's waiting to find out what happens with Buffalo, because if he's going to take a job, he'd prefer to go where Josh Allen is and they can add to that roster. It's not a very good roster right now, but they can add around that in the following offseason. I think he'd prefer to do that, go to a contender, try and win a Super Bowl right away, change the culture, and at least like he's been there before. McDermott hasn't gotten there to the Super Bowl. Harbaugh's won one. It was a while ago, but he won one. Now, if the Giants have to wait because Buffalo makes a run in the playoffs, what do the Giants do? Because Kevin Stefanski's not going to say, hold on, I'm not going to choose where I want to coach next year while you wait for John Harbaugh. Maybe Stefanski gets sick of it and is disrespected. He takes, I don't know, the Atlanta job or the Arizona job potentially. Or maybe it's the Baltimore job. Who even knows? He takes another job. Then the Giants are waiting to see what happens with Buffalo if they're going to move on from McDermott. They could be left with nobody that they love to hire. And that's when Mike McCarthy becomes the next head coach of the New York Giants. I'm already trying to talk myself into it. I'm already trying to convince myself it's not the worst thing in the world if Big Mike is the head coach of the Giants. And by the way, they are going to interview him. According to reports that came out today, they're going to interview him. And I believe they're chatting with Stefanski either today or tomorrow when it comes to this situation. Now, the odds would tell you the Giants are the team. They are the favorite to land John Harbaugh because right now over at DraftKings, it is who's the next head coach of the New York Giants? Harbaugh's minus 150. Stefanski's $2. McCarthy's 6-1. Halfley's 8.5-1. Kingsbury's 9.5-1. Let me be very clear. I do not understand the fascination with Jeff Halfley. Someone's going to have to. He calls a really good defense, and he had Micah Parsons this year. Okay, what? Why am I supposed to believe that that's the right guy to take the Giants to the promised land? Jeff Halfley feels a lot like Joe Judge, a lot like Pat Shurmur. I'm going to have to talk myself into it. And if I have to use a lot of words, we all know that's a dangerous thing. But if I have to use a lot of words to convince myself that the hire is good, oh, it's not going to be pretty. Cliff Kingsbury is an asinine suggestion. Why? Because he was good with Jaden Daniels last year. He's going to do the same thing with Jackson Dart because he's a mobile quarterback. Cliff Kingsbury is not a head coach. You cannot make him the leader of your organization and represent your team. He is not a serious coach. That's it. If you're the Giants, you have a chance to become serious again. You have a chance to become respected again. There are 2 names on this list that you need to land. If it's not John Harbaugh, it's Kevin Stefanski. If it's not Kevin Stefanski, it is John Harbaugh. The problem the Giants have is John Harbaugh can choose anyone he wants, and he can take his time doing it. He can drag this out forever, and I don't know if Stefanski is going to wait for them. If someone else who's desperate comes along and says, hey, we'd love to have you right now. Let's get started and build a winner right now. But right now, speaking of, I said that a lot, SNY TV's Connor Hughes reporting the Giants are, quote, all in on hiring John Harbaugh. The Ravens, to fill the void for John Harbaugh, according to reports, Ian Rappaport says, they're looking for a head coach to, quote, invigorate Lamar Jackson. That's a wild quote. Lamar Jackson's going to be paid $70 million next year. He gets paid to invigorate himself, okay? And he can pay someone to invigorate him if he needs to. He should be able to figure it out here. I don't know, he needs someone to invigorate Lamar Jackson. No. That's crazy. Just someone who can draw up some creative plays for Lamar Jackson. Lamar should be able to take care of the rest of it. That feels like propaganda coming from someone using Ian Rappaport to get that out. And then finally, the Ravens are interviewing Anthony Weaver, the DC in Miami. Okay, I know he has ties there. And Clint Kubiak, which could be fun. That could be a lot of fun. But I have never heard Clint Kubiak speak. I know he has the last name Kubiak, and he's related to Gary. And this year with Seattle, that offense has been tremendous. But let's also be fair about it. It's been Sam Darnold targeting Jaxon Smith-Njigba a lot. Like, that's pretty much the offense, and it's Jaxon Smith-Njigba doing things. He looked good with New Orleans the first few games of last year, and then that thing blew up on him. So we'll see how it shakes out for Baltimore. But if you're going to let go of John Harbaugh, you better nail this next hire because it could get really ugly. And at this point, you got to give the organization the benefit of the doubt. Like, they don't make major mistakes. If they think it's time to move on from Harbaugh, then it's time to move on from Harbaugh, which then brings you back to the Giants. Is there any world where we think Harbaugh's lost his fastball? I've compared this every step of the way to Seattle and Pete Carroll at the end, but maybe it's also Andy Reid and Philly in the end. I mean, Pete Carroll, we saw how it went following Seattle with the Raiders this year. And then for John Harbaugh, or for Andy Reid, he did win a ring down in Kansas City. So that is where we stand with John Harbaugh. On to our next story. Could Mike Tomlin hit the market? Report from Jeremy Fowler. Mike Tomlin could part ways with the team this offseason. He conceded there's no firm evidence of this right now, but Tomlin will walk away from the Steelers potentially. A source close to Tomlin believes stepping away is at least a possibility. So basically the report from Fowler is Mike Tomlin may or may not be back next year. Thanks, brother. Appreciate that information. I think it'd be crazy for Pittsburgh to do it. And I thought it'd be good for all parties about 4 or 5 weeks ago to move on, for Tomlin to go somewhere else. He can get his messaging across. He can start from scratch. And for Pittsburgh, bring someone in that they can tear it down, they can rebuild, and they can become a contender again. But then they won 10 games. And I don't know how you do that after he wins 10 games again. Like, I don't know how you push someone out the door when they've won 10 games. Like, we are talking about owners in the NFL would cut off limbs if they could win 10 games next year. And then finally, let's go to the Chargers, because I like them catching the points in Foxborough this week. And this is good news and bad news. As Justin Herbert, dealing with the hand injury, practiced fully today. And then Jim Harbaugh came out and said Omarion Hampton will not practice today. Hampton is, quote, working through it, doing everything he can to make sure that his ankle is better for the matchup on the road in Foxborough. The problem is, New England's one of the best run defenses in the league. I'm not sure Omarion Hampton matters. It's going to be a lot of Justin Herbert. Him being healthy matters the most for me in my handicap, but really it's that defense. As the market currently has it, Patriots laying 3.5 and a total right now of 46 and a hook. That is the latest in the NFL with the three-point stance. We'll get you some prop plays because I started adding them today, looking at the key matchups across each of these games in the wild card round. We'll also hear from Kyle Shanahan. We'll hear from the Shanahan Elixir. I'll tell you who that is later on in the program. But right now, I want to remind you that you can head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro and get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now. You'll get the best bets from every show, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and matchup analysis. 24/7 video, full show replays, all available over on the VSiN Watch app. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. And when we return, Ben Johnson makes his postseason debut. What does he have up his sleeve for the Packers? We'll go to Chicago and check in on the other side of Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Broadcasting from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Some updates across hoops right now. Arizona up 99-74 on Kansas State late in that game. Well, with just under a minute to go, they're about to put them away. Spurs at the end of the third with about 5 seconds remaining, 79-68 leading the Lakers. And we've got some more action to update you on a little bit later on in the program with the Rockets and the Trailblazers back out for the second half. Portland up 57-50. And Golden State on top of Milwaukee, 74-67. But right now, we have to head to the city of Chicago because a playoff game is being hosted at Soldier Field, and I need to get a lay of the land. To do that, we're going to the Progressive Guest Line. Mark Carmen, CHGO, Bears Park podcast host, at The Carm on X, and he joins me now here on Cashing Out. So, Mark, you got to tell me about this first season with Ben Johnson. We're sitting here. You're going to watch this team host a playoff game. Green Bay is coming to town. 11 wins on the season. What's the level of surprise to be sitting in this situation right now?
I would say, Dustin, good to be with you. Appreciate you having me. I'd say the level of surprise is significant. Look, this team won 5 games last year, and yes, Ben Johnson was the hot coaching candidate out there, and it was amazing that he wanted to come to Chicago, and that was a surprise. And then they start out 0-2 after a generally, at least from my eyes, miserable training camp where they were trying to figure each other out. So I was not optimistic at all. And I had had them winning 7 games before the season. Then I watched them go 0-2. And I'm thinking they're going to win 4 games, 5, whatever, somewhere down there. And, you know, then they just started winning games in miraculous fashion and didn't stop. And then, you know, the quarterback got better. The offense started to come together. The defense got hot for a minute. That's kind of gone the other way right now, a bunch of banged up parts. But to your question, I would say the Bears being the number 2 seed in the NFC with a chance to play at least 2 games at home is a massive surprise.
All right, watching Ben Johnson now for a full regular season, and obviously pretty much anything over Matt Eberflus was going to be an upgrade this year. But can you pinpoint some of the things that you like the most about Ben Johnson as a head coach through year 1 so far?
Well, Ben's got something that you would think more coaches have, but just few do. And that's, he is able to speak the truth and say things directly. I didn't like our passing game today. The offense didn't score enough points. He said it directly after week 18, and he's been doing this going all the way back to training camp. And then he backs his guys. It's not like he's sitting there just throwing everybody under the bus, because we all know that would not work nowadays at all. This is not, we're not going back to Bobby Knight in Indiana. But he has the ability to, A, be consistent day in and day out. You hear from his players, and they say, this guy is the same guy every single day, and you just have to respect that. And then on top of it, he is a savant when it comes to putting together an offense and developing a quarterback. And that's, that really is just, you combine those two, and it's pretty damn impressive.
Mark Carman is our guest, host of the CHGO Bears podcast at The Carm on X. Well, you alluded to it there. What has been the biggest growth from Caleb Williams from last year to this year, now playing in the super creative system? How have you seen Caleb Williams grow as a QB here?
Well, Dustin, he couldn't get out of the huddle when you go back to training camp properly. It was false start after false start after false start. This continued into the season. He did not know the offense, and he wasn't. And Ben puts a lot on you, right? It's not easy for a quarterback. Caleb was used to being in the shotgun at SC, and it's drop back and who's open and fire it. I've got a hose. Nobody can match me. And the talent was never in doubt, but as far as running an NFL offense, he was not able to do that last year. Or last year's, like, it wasn't even an NFL offense that was going on, but it took him a long time to start to get it. And I gotta be honest, I didn't think it was going to happen this year, but he's gotten there, and he's gotten a lot of respect from Ben because he is in that office with him late at night going over all the minor details, the major details, whatever, however you want to call it. This guy's put in the time, and he's getting the benefits of it. So it's been impressive.
What is your biggest concern with this team as we head to the postseason? You got a game here on Saturday, but if they're going to play multiple and go on a run, what would be the thing that happens that prevents Chicago from advancing past Green Bay?
Well, the known thing that concerns you with the Bears is they don't get to the quarterback. Jordan Love will have time back there. I don't think the cavalry is coming here. Montez Sweat is, had an okay season, but he certainly hasn't been a dynamic pass rusher. Grady Jarrett's, significantly past his prime. Austin Booker's coming on in his second year, but there's just not enough there. And then the problem that the Bears are really running into now is their secondary is just not right. Jalen Johnson, their top corner, with the core muscle injury, missed most of the season. Now he comes back, but he's not the same. He's not moving well. Yet he's playing because they're banking on him. They're giving the veteran the benefit of the doubt. Tyreek Stevenson didn't play at all last week. That's a third-year corner who I think should be out there. We'll see if they make an adjustment coming into this week. But, coming into the year, the secondary was one of the strengths. And right now it just hasn't been. Kyler Gordon's been out all year. He might or might not play coming back this week. So, what's he going to be? So the defense in general I would be, you know, long drives. Can they get off the field? They were not able to do it last week. They weren't able to do it the week before. Are they going to find some magic pill? I don't know. And then the other part of it is, can the offense be consistent? They were against the Niners. They scored every single quarter. But then you go to last week in a game that they really wanted to win. They did not score until the fourth quarter. So there's plenty to be concerned about from the, you know, if you're looking for things. On the other hand, they might, you know, listen, this offense could click at a whole level, and Green Bay's lost four in a row. So they very much, you know, could win the game. I'm going to pick them to win, but it's not with any real confidence.
Mark Carman is our guest, host of CHGO Bears podcast at The Carm on X. All right, looking at the line, Green Bay is a road favorite here, laying 1.5. That total's dropped a little bit to 45.5. How do you see it going?
That line just freaks me out, right? You would think that all the money is on the Bears. I like to fade the public. I don't know if you have that exact number for me, Dustin. Right? I'd be curious to know what percentage of the dough is going on the Bears right now. So I don't like that line from a Bears standpoint, because they're, you know, do they, I mean, it feels like Bears by one. How's that? 27-26 Bears. Let's go with that. That's kind of my read. If the Bears are going to win the football game, but that line to me screams bet Green Bay. I like, you know, of the prop bets, I would be placing some decent dough on the Bears running backs to play well. I would think that DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai are going to get a good run here, and I would expect that they did not play well last week. I think that bounces back.
Yeah, I'm looking at the betting splits right now. First, I'll give you Circa. That's where the big money's placed here in Vegas. Actually, they have a book near you guys outside of Chicago. 80% of the money on 78% of the bets on Chicago, so a little bit of sharp money there. A little bit more sharp money on the under, 93% on 88% of the bets. And then we go over to DraftKings, which gives you more of a national perspective. And I'm doing this over at VSiN.com, where we have these betting splits. And DraftKings, if it'll click for me, I'll give it to you right now. You know what? DraftKings is more on Green Bay, which tends to be the public action. 41% of the handle on 29% of the bets laying it with Green Bay. So that would lead you to believe that is indeed true. Sharp money coming in on Chicago right now, Mark.
That's interesting. That makes, I think that's got to make Bears fans feel good right there. And you try to understand the line. Bears are the 2 seed. Packers have lost 4 in a row. You know, Micah Parsons is not around. Why is Green Bay a favorite? Well, I guess it just flat out, people just don't believe in the Bears yet. They haven't seen them do enough that there's any real confidence that the Bears are real. And I get it. I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense from a team that hasn't won a playoff game as we started this interview back to 2011. So I get the skepticism.
Yeah, but you know what it is? It's a great rallying cry, and I hope we're doing this again. I hope they're going on a run. I hope I'm seeing you in Santa Clara before the Super Bowl, and we got Chicago making a deep run here, because I think it would be good for not just Chicago, but for the NFL as well. He's Mark Carman. Check him out, CHGO Bears podcast, at The Carm on X. I appreciate you doing this tonight, man. Hopefully we'll chat again soon.
Absolutely, Dustin. Appreciate it. See you out there for the Super Bowl. Win, lose, or draw. We'll be there.
Oh, awesome. Then we will catch up then. And I hope Chicago's there. This is the team coming into the year. I was like, I could see them being an S show and winning 4 games. I could also see them winning the NFC. They had the widest range of outcomes. Right now, they're trending towards that top end of it. I don't know, man. There's something about Ben Johnson and him being in his bag and having a situation here in the playoffs to just unload the tricks. Just throw everything he can at a Green Bay defense that doesn't have Micah Parsons, that doesn't have Wyatt up front, that could be a little bit leaky, and just throw them off the scent. Think about what he did with Detroit. How many times when they needed a big play in a big game, he called something crazy, an end around, a tight end pass, whatever it may be. He's done that with Chicago. I think we're going to see it on a totally different level, and Green Bay's not going to know what's coming, and they're not going to be able to stop it. I kind of like Chicago. I haven't bet this game yet in terms of the side, but I kind of like Chicago. Let's go to another game in the NFC, Philly and San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan explains a key matchup in this on the other side.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We are on the under in Boise and Grand Canyon. We got a horrible number. This thing's moved around all day long. Boise leads 16-15 right now. Early goings in this matchup in Idaho. And right now, Boise's laying 7.5, so a dollar discount off the closing number of 8.5. Total's down to 131.5. We bet under 137.5. It was at 142.5. I saw when Greg Peterson was on VSiN Primetime with Matt Brown and Mike Somich. I was like, oh no, that one's at 142.5. I bet such a five points off. Let me confirm that's what I saw. I need to make sure that I'm not crazy. Let's find this game on the board. I'll get you some updates real quickly. But we're looking at odds, and I'll use Circa here. It closed at 140 there. No, it was one at 6:05 local time. It was 142. That is crazy. And right now in game, it is all the way down to 131.5. So do I try for the middle? You guys know I'm obsessed with trying for the middle, and I don't usually get my middles. So I think we're gonna stay away. We're going to stay away, as with 7:47 to go in the first half, Boise's down to a 6.5-point favorite, up 16-15, and that total just dropped again to 130 and a hook. Other scores in the association, we've got the Spurs leading the Lakers, 89-78, 7:10 to go in that game. No LeBron James, and San Antonio is dominating this one at home. They're laying 11.5, total in-game is 200 and a hook. Warriors 98, Bucks 82, Golden State's laying 14.5, total is 234.5. And then in Portland, Trailblazers up on Houston 72-63. Portland's still only laying 1.5. So, oh, is that an 8? Sorry, there was something on my screen. It was actually 68, not 63. So it is a 4-point game. That makes sense, with Houston laying 1.5 and a total of 212.5. I'm not watching that game, but I would think about Houston money line minus 140. That is what I would think about, but I'm not watching the game, so I can't tell you exactly how the flow has been going there. I know the flow doesn't go well for Kyle Shanahan when he faces Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator of the Eagles, and that's going to be a fun chess match, because when it comes to the Eagles and the Niners, it's strength on strength, weakness on weakness, right? It's the Philly offense that you can't get your head around going up a banged up, battered Niners defense. And on the other side, Kyle Shanahan, one of the more brilliant play designers we've seen, going up against Vic Fangio, who, by the way, is 3-1 lifetime against Kyle Shanahan. 3-1 straight up. That is a wild number. As right now, you're looking at the board, it is a 4.5-point spread. Philly's favored. 44.5 is your total. Now, the second these odds came out, my thought was, at 3.5, they were trying to bait you into taking San Francisco. They know Philly's the right side, and I understand that. I understand why you're supposed to think Philly's the right side. At the same point in time, I know it's super square. I kind of like San Francisco. I am not touching it as of right now, but I kind of like San Francisco, and I kind of like the under. Kyle Shanahan came out today, said that Trent Williams will not practice earlier today. By the way, the 49ers, 4-13 straight up in games when Trent Williams doesn't play. That includes the postseason. George Kittle limited in practice today. Ricky Pearsall did not practice today. For the Eagles, there's a chance they get right tackle Lane Johnson back, which would be massive just for the identity of that offense. He's dealing with a Liz Frank injury in his foot. Jalen Carter was limited in practice. He needs to be good to go. And I think he'll be fine. I think they're resting him, managing him, because that dude is such an impact player. I know we saw it with Aaron Donald winning Defensive Player of the Year on the D-line. It's really hard to do it if you're not racking up the sacks. I think Jalen Carter's a guy with some of the highlight reels he puts on. I think he's a guy who could contend for Defensive Player of the Year at the defensive tackle spot. Nakobe Dean, the linebacker, safety Marcus Epps were limited in practice. Dallas Goedert and Grant Calcaterra, both of them issues with practice today. Goddard limited. Calcaterra did not practice. If Goddard can't go, Calcaterra's the next man up. So that could be a potential miss, but it sounds like Dallas Goedert, knee injury. I think they're just managing him when it comes to this. But I mentioned the record. Fangio, Shanahan, back and forth. And Shanahan just can't get the best of him. And in fact, Kyle Shanahan thought, you know what? I can't beat this guy. Why not have him join my team? And he talked about how he tried to hire Vic Fangio several times earlier today.
Schematically, just he's always been the best to me, as good as anyone there is. Has a very sound scheme that he doesn't need to change up very much. It just naturally changes with how he does his coverages, how he does his fronts, the personnel groupings he does. He's very good at getting a beat on what you're trying to do and making you adjust.
How close did you get to really hiring him to be your defensive coordinator a few years ago?
You'd have to ask him. I mean, I've tried All the times that it's been opportunity, just he's always been with someone else when that's happened. I mean, I tried real hard in 17 when we first came here, and I tried like two other times on separate occasions. So Vic's a guy that I've always respected, gone against a number of times before I became a head coach. So that's why I respected him so much, and through the process, been able to become friends with him.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. And I think that defense is going to be dialed up, man. At home, at the link, in the cold, playoff atmosphere. And they know they're going to have to do everything they can to keep themselves in the game, because you can't trust the Philly offense to step up. I don't care how limited San Francisco is defensively. I trust Robert Saleh over Kevin Petula to come up with a game plan to neutralize Philly. And I think that starts with forcing Jalen Hurts to beat you. Forcing Jalen Hurts to be accurate, that's what I would do if I was Robert Saleh. I would force Jalen Hurts to have to throw the ball and have to be pinpoint accurate, something he just isn't capable of being. Because of that, I think the under is the way I'd look at 44.5. I mean, they couldn't move the ball against Buffalo. And Buffalo can't stop the run, and that's supposed to be the bread and butter for the Philadelphia Eagles. So right now, I lean the under in that game. The Saturday NFC game features Green Bay and Chicago. We just touched on it with Mark Carmen from CHGO, the Bears podcast, in our previous segment. Green Bay's laying 1.5. 45.5 is the total. This game is tough, man. I like the over. I think there's going to be points. I think that number is way too low. You got a Green Bay defense that doesn't have its two of its best players, most notably Micah Parsons, but Wyatt on the D-line is a huge miss. The Bears want to play with tempo. They want to get up and go. I know it's going to be cold at Soldier Field. I know that makes you think under, but at the same time, that number is just a little bit low, because Green Bay, I think, is going to give up some big burst plays. And then on the other side, Green Bay should be able to run up and down the field against the Chicago front. I expect a lot of Josh Jacobs. I expect a lot of Emmanuel Wilson. Jordan Love could even run the football as well. I don't know with the concussion issues and all of that, but there's a chance Jordan Love picks apart a really bad secondary for Chicago. Both teams are going to get theirs. I think the over is the only way to look in this game. I can't really figure out a side or a total. Ben Johnson, though, he says take the Bears because they're not done here. They're planning on making a deep run into the postseason.
Just like I told those guys after the game, you know, we're mentally prepared to play for 5 more weeks. And so that's our intent. How do you do that? You go out and you win the first one. And so we're going to come in today and we're going to have a great day today. Meetings, walkthrough, short week, opponent that we know. And we're going to get ready for this one. And we're going to go all out for this game. And we'll worry about the future when that time comes.
Do you remember when the rumor out there with Ben Johnson was he's an introvert, he doesn't know how to communicate, he's not a leader of men? Literally every time he opens his mouth, I'm like, yeah, that's a really pragmatic guy I'd like as my leader. Like, it doesn't feel like he's going to get too high, too low when it's unnecessary. He's going to ride with you in the positives. He's going to call out the negatives. He's going to be a real dude. And by the way, he's a brilliant play caller. I can't believe we all fell for the narrative from people who I'm not sure ever actually interacted with him, trying to report and tell us that that guy didn't have a personality where he could be a head coach. He absolutely is a head coach. He's a great head coach. If he won Coach of the Year, I don't think anyone would argue with it. Unless you bet on Mike Vrabel, then you'd argue with it. And I understand. I would do the same thing, too, if I had Mike Vrabel. That's what I'm doing with Matthew Stafford and the Drake May debate. By the way, I'm starting to realize I'm probably going to end up looking wrong. And it's not that I'm actually wrong in my argument. It's that other people look like they're right and I'm wrong, but I think that they're wrong and I'm right. But when Drake May wins, they're going to be vindicated and think that they're right. But really, I think they're wrong and the people who voted are wrong. But in the end, that means I think I have to admit I'm wrong. You see the pretzel my mind's in? I don't know how to wrap my head around it. We're going to move on back to Packers and Bears. Packers, a wide receiver, Dontavian Wicks, concussion, limited in practice today. Matthew Golden, Achilles injury, practiced fully today. For the Bears, Roma Dunze, limited. He does expect to play, but he's limping into the postseason. DJ Moore, knee injury, limited on Wednesday. Sounds like a lot more Colston Loveland, a lot more Luther Burden, who's popped the last couple weeks. I don't hate that for Chicago, and I expect the ground game, Manangai, DeAndre Swift, to be heavily involved in the attack for the Chicago Bears against that Green Bay front without Parsons and without Wyatt. Right now is the best time of year for bettors, and the all-new Boomer Sportsbook is bringing you the action. Football, hockey, basketball, and more. Use code VSiN250 when you sign up for a Boomer's mobile account, and they'll match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets. Plus, get -105 on all pro football spreads every single game. Download the Boomer Sportsbook app today. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. Must be 21 or older. Terms and conditions apply. Bet responsibly. Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We got a lot to get to over the course of the next 2 hours. We're going to look at the college basketball slate coming up for Thursday. We also have to look at NBA. Player props are out. I have added several, and I'll find the best matchups that make sense for us a little bit later. But first, we have to preview the Fiesta and the Peach Bowl, and we're going to do that next. George Reister, former Oregon Duck CW college football analyst, will join me to break down the college football Final Four.